Hello, it's Tuesday, June 20th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, where we're here to spread the love. Everybody knows that.
Is that what we're spreading?
That's what we're spreading. Our special guest today is Bill Broombaugh. He comes on once every month. If you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see a little tribute that we wrote to Bill. And we just thank the world of him, not only for the news updates that he does every day in his email news service, but also he's about as quick on his feet as anybody we interview.
Ode to Bill.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what we throw at Bill, he's always right there on top of it, very well informed. And, Bill, we'd just like to welcome you to Wing TV. How are you doing today?
Hi, Bill.
Oh, a little sunburned, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, we heard a little bit about that yesterday and before
Somebody
the show.
Somebody sent Bill an aloe plant.
Exactly. A forest of aloe plants. Well, Bill, before we jump into things, let everybody know how they can find your website, your radio show, and also if they want to sign up for your daily news updates.
Okay. First of all, my email address to get a hold of me, person to person, is bill@proactivenews.com. My website is naturally proactivenews.com. There's plenty of links on there to get on my email list, and you do that by writing subscribe to bill@proactivenews.com. I do ask $5 or $10 a month, but nobody's disappointed, and I just hope and pray that I'm bringing the best forth in news, because there's so much news now, it is just insane. It really is.
It is, and we're, before the show, trying to go over everything that's going on in the world, and that's why we like having you on so much, is there's so much to cover. So let's jump right into it. We're going to go back, Bill, about a week and a half to the Bilderberg Conference, and also an event that just happened yesterday, how they coincide. There's a guy named Robert Zoellick. He was the Deputy Secretary of State, the number two man under Condoleezza Rice, and he announced that he's resigning now from the cabinet. And just a little bit of background on this guy. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. He was Executive Vice President of Fannie Mae. He was one of the signatories of the infamous PNAC letter. He's also hooked up with James Baker. He was a part of Goldman Sachs. And now, and he's also been described as an extreme Jewish supremacist and an Israeli firster. Now, according to Jim Tucker's report from the American Free Press at the Canadian Bilderberg meeting, Robert Zoellick, when asked, said that it would be necessary to keep the invasion option of invading Iran on the table, and so that they would agree to abandon their nuclear weapons program. Well, this was greeted with something. A European answered, "You're wrong. Iran simply refuses to be bullied by the United States. Save us a lot of trouble and forget about invading Iran." At that point, it says the Americans remained silent. Now, Bill, do you think Robert Zoellick resigning has anything to do with this little exchange at the recent Bilderberg meeting?
Wow, that's a big issue, and I'm aware of it. I don't know what to say on that part. I mean, I really don't. I would say it very likely holds the impetus, though, for the resignation. Because the fact is, Iran doesn't want to be pushed around. It saw what happened with Iraq. There's no ending to it. There's no ending. We want the oil. We want to control that region. And it's really, it's pretty dark the way things are going. So I would say, I would think it probably does have something to do with Iran's policy, because I think the U.S. is losing steam as the nation's number one, empirical power. And I think other nations are starting to step in the gap now.
Well, Bill,
although Japan did withdraw all of its UN, all of its troops from Iraq, the fact is nobody else seems to want anything to do with Iran.
Point blank, Bill, in your opinion, are we going into Iran this year or not?
I don't know. It's a flip of the coin right now. I really thought that it was a done deal, but unfortunately, so many people have spoken out. You know, a lot of people are not aware there's a brand new commission on human rights that has been formed, and it's like, this is really deleterious to the federal government. And when I say deleterious, the fact is that, you know, when we look at the makeup of some of these commissions and some of these organizations, it just doesn't make sense. And I'm pretty concerned about it. I really am. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, again, as we look at the makeup, which is increasingly Asian, as countries start pandering towards the Asian nations, it's got me concerned that, indeed, again, we are in a situation where we can cannot afford to offend, because the fact is that these nations are choosing other alliances. And when I say Asia, I mean, folks, this is really bad when we're dealing with this issue on such a big deal. It really is.
Bill, we've seen reports that Yahoo is operating this massive censorship program in China, and a group called Reporters Without Borders has stated that Yahoo is censoring even more information than the Chinese government itself. To what extent do you think Yahoo is working with Chinese officials, and what kind of information are they censoring?
Well, you know, I think that indeed they're censoring news stories. I think that that's real important because Yahoo, you know, which has kind of been at the cutting edge, although it's never made money, you know, that's one of the hallmarks of the Internet companies. They're always told, oh, this is cutting edge, this is cutting edge. However, the big boys never really seem to make money, and I think they see their future with Asia. Uh-huh. Now, with regarding what type of news are they censoring, I think they're censoring, quite frankly, human rights violations by China, which are at an apex. They are at a high point, and nobody seems to care about that. Why? Because the U.S. is interested in the money. They're throwing people out of jobs here. I mean, when we look at, I guess this Ford is closing two new plants and rebuilding in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
GM is doing the same thing with their plants. And where are we going to have our income from jobs? We're not going to. So I think they're focusing on Mexico and the Mexican elements, but the fact is, I think China is a much bigger issue, much, much bigger.
Right, and they're still classified as most favored nation status. Now, Bill, over the weekend, there are reports...
Most favored or most flavored, they're taking a bite out of everything.
Exactly, yeah, you're right. Last weekend, there were reports out of North Korea that they were going to launch these new missile tests. There was something called the Taipodong 2 missiles, and these have the possibility of reaching the western coast of the United States. What are your thoughts on North Korea's status right now, and is this a realistic fear that they're going to keep pushing this forward?
Well, I think North Korea is being used as a wild card for Red China. I don't think they're truly the enemy that we think they are, although they do have nuclear power, and I think that's a big deal. But the thing is, I think they're being used by the Chinese, and I think the Chinese are pretty much giving them their orders like the British do the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really concerned that this is not the issue that we think it is, and yet we're going to be pushed into war because, again, the U.S. wants to be the primary nation in the nuclear power only club. The U.S. has nuclear weapons, the British do, the Israelis do, and we're the only ones that seem to have the nonsensical attitude to use the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we get into a war with China or North Korea, I'm afraid all hell's going to break loose.
Yeah,
I'm really concerned about
you're
it.
You're exactly right.
Bill, the Bushistas keep telling us the economy's great, and we have to wonder great for whom when we see that federal contracts are up 86% and Halliburton's contracts are up 600%, and we, you know, can only guess what their profits are. Describe how companies like Halliburton and Bechtel have benefited and reaped these massive rewards from the Bush administration and the war.
Well, I think when Bush says the economy is good, he's correct. It's just, how do you qualify the economy? The average American, John and Jane Q., is not the economy. We are pawns in the economy.
Yeah.
We are usable losables in the economy. And the fact is, although corporate America, as they make their ultimate, penultimate fascist move, which is clear and very, very, evident to the economists of the world who don't want to speak about it, the fact is that as they're realigning and redefining everything, we find ourselves in a position where we are simply, a pawn cannot complain to the person running the chessboard. A pawn is simply a piece to be used and lost. Every once in a while it will gain strategic position, but it's going to be sacrificed. I think we're up for sacrifice right now. Now, when we talk about the tremendous profiteering that's going on, it's not just Republicans. I think the Democrats want their person in the White House simply so they can partake as well.
Uh-huh.
When
yeah.
we talk about Halliburton and the tremendous profits, these are done through sealed bid contracts. Nobody knows who bid what, and the fact is nobody dares complain. like the Hartford News and stuff like that, guys saying, well, we did this and we did that, but nobody can compete with Halliburton, frankly, because Bush is going to grant them the contract ad hoc. He's not going to put any qualifications on it. And along with Halliburton, we have Kellogg, Root, and Brown, mm-hmm. the mercenary organization. Now, interesting enough, as you mentioned, Halliburton, nobody has been factoring in the mercenaries, which have been clear in evidence since 2003. And I think that that's a big deal issue as well, too.
Right.
Because they don't follow the rules that the regular military does. They're much more insightful. I think, you know, again, a lot of the problems going on with people being killed and so forth are from older, old guard mercenaries working for Kellogg, Root, and Brown.
Well, again, they
go back all the way to Vietnam when they started working with the CIA and creating a mercenary organization. Now, when they went through and John McCain was standing before the Senate subcommittee and he was talking about the military, and they were dealing with the Abu Ghraib issue, which is just tip of the iceberg. I think that Halliburton and company really played their hand there, and McCain almost came out, but he's such a stinking coward. He said the merc, and he started to say mercenaries. He said the privateers,
uh-huh.
the private contractors over there, and he betrayed his hand, and I lost. I had no faith in McCain anyways, but if it's possible to lose something you don't have, I did.
Yeah, well, we know that the private contractors aren't subject to congressional oversight, too, which also helps their cause.
Yeah, and they're really what Donald Rumsfeld has classified as the new military. But let's go to an article, Bill, the Justin Raimondo. He runs a site called
I really enjoy his writing, largely.
Yep. And he runs a site called antiwar.com, as you know. And yesterday he released an article called The Assassins. And this is what he's calling the Israeli lobby. And he says that not only if the Israeli lobby, if they're crossed, not only do they engage in character assassination, but he says if pushed far enough, they actually engage in actual, literal assassinations. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I know Justin is one of the guys that made the big point that I was making when I was on AM and FM and everything before I got semi-blacklisted by Alex and GCN and company. But the fact is that there was a group of Israelis that were captured on film. And I have the footage here. I've got a couple copies of it. I've got a copy here as well as elsewhere. And they were dancing and high-fiving each other and running around while the World Trade Center fell. And
right,
people were pushed back into the building. They were told, you have to go back into the building. Everything's okay. Why they wanted the death count higher. Remember, you asked people now, how many people died? I don't know, 20,000? Again, it was just a couple thousand. But these guys were integral in the conclusiveness of this happening, and I think they had something to do with it because they were in exactly the right place at the right time. And I think Justin's right. I think Israel is one of the number one terrorist nations in the world. Now, that's not everybody, but the fact is the Mossad has an iron grip on that nation. I think the Mossad is very deadly. They're very dangerous, and I'm afraid they give the U.S. their marching orders right along with the Brits. Matter of fact, I think the marching orders often come through the British. You know, people haven't factored the British in yet. Again, the Dubai, that was a British-owned property.
Uh-huh.
The Chinese was British-owned. The Indians were British-owned. On and on and on. And we keep looking at these countries to say, well, those darn Arabs or this or that. No, I think all of it is largely a British plot, and I think it's inexorably linked to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say Jews, I'm talking the Zionists. Let me clarify that. The Zionists are political. The Jews are religious. There's a very evil Jewish element that I feel involved in this whole issue. But the fact is it is the Zionists who are the elitists.
Bill, there's stories on various websites the last few days that discuss the battle, the so-called battle between Cheney and the CIA for control over the blacker side of black operations and intelligence. How much credence do you place in these reports? Do you think they're legitimate, or are they just a smokescreen?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of both going on. My primary concern right now is the FBI. Many FBI agents have resigned their commission in the FBI and have applied to work in the CIA. the honest ones, I should say the more honest ones, are the ones who are not on a power grab memorandum of some sort and recognize and realize what's going on. I think the FBI is being absorbed into Homeland Security. I think it's losing its power. The FBI has pretty much been, oh, I'd say 40% straight shooters, and they've had some good people like Kathleen Rowley and others like that who tried to tell the truth, and they get slammed and damned. We don't even remember these people now because of the five-minute, memory of the public, and I'm really concerned about what's going on. I'm more afraid of the FBI than I am the CIA, but regarding the information about black ops going on, I think that is a real deal, and I think the power struggle most definitely is between Cheney and elements of the government, and some of them have more of a democratic bent to them than the neocon agenda of Bush and company. So I would say that's a valid story.
Very good. Now, Bill, I want one more international story here before I go to more domestic news. There's an article that came out, I think it's an excerpt from his latest book by Greg Palast. It's called Keeping Iraq's Oil in the Ground, and everybody knows how expensive fuel is these days. What Palast is saying is that historically, Iraq has always tried to pump more oil, and historically, there are forces at work that are doing everything in their power to keep their oil in the ground so that supply is limited. That means price goes higher. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a very good point. And I actually think the U.S. is the most oil-rich nation in the world, followed by Venezuela, and then we go to the Arabs. But because we've developed everything based on biblical methodology and certain ecologies, we look at these things and we don't consider them as real issues. We look at the Middle East. The Bible says that the end times are going to be here. Israel is going to be as a lodestone around the neck and blah, blah, blah. And so we expect to find all problems and all misunderstandings there in the Middle East. I mean, when Chavez offered us oil at $50 a gallon, I thought that was a great thing, and I was dumbfounded that moron Pat Robertson said, we need to assassinate that man.
Yeah.
He's evil. That guy is CIA, has been, always is. And the fact is that was proof. Bush turning it down was proof. And then for him to settle at $60 a barrel and then sign a giant contract with the Chinese, with Asia, it's dumbfounding to me. We have oil. We've got 3 trillion barrels of oil that is in the Rocky Mountains. I know it's a different type. It would take a couple years to set up to refine it. It's a slightly different refining process. But I suggest as long as we have chosen to be petrochemical dependent, that we take our cue and start breaking away from everybody. And because we can process that oil and everything for $30 a barrel. Let's start using some common sense rather than the nonsense of the Bush administration.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Many people in the Patriot, so-called Patriot community, they consider Cynthia McKinney a hero. Well, recently, we don't. Recently,
no,
she's been found to, I guess, she's not going to be punished or held accountable for striking a Capitol Hill police officer. What do you think this, what message
like
does this
McKinney.
Send
I've
out?
I never liked her. I personally ran into her about 4 years ago, and she did the same thing then. She opens her eyes worldwide when she makes her point like some psychopath. I don't like Cynthia McKinney. If I'm wrong, I will apologize someday, but nothing I have seen about her indicates anything in terms of conclusiveness that she's a patriot.
Well, we don't like her for a number of reasons. Yeah. Well, what's your take on this whole thing where she's not going to be held accountable for striking the Capitol Hill police officer?
And Bill, what would happen if you, Bill Broombaugh, struck a Capitol Hill police officer?
Well, I'd be in jail before you could blink.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a history of violence, and again,
you
it
really?
Was always justified. It always worked out. I've been in court probably 22 or 23 times defending myself from violent acts, but I was always good and I always pulled it off and it was always justified. Cynthia McKinney has played ball with the elite now and she has got in a position where she has enough power and enough credibility and she will throw her vote, I think, to the neocons when push comes to shove. And it's like at that time, that'll tell the true tale of Cynthia McKinney.
Well, she's got no credibility with people like us.
Yeah. Now, Bill, let's turn our attention here to some national politics. The last two speeches that Hillary Clinton gave, she was greeted with resounding catcalls, not from Republicans, but from the Democrats, because they're very upset with her pro-war stance. And we know that Hillary, for many years, was anti-war. Now, all of a sudden, she's this neo-hawk or neocon war hawk. Do you think she's going to be able to pull this ruse off, or are the Democrats going to be vocal enough that they're going to bring her down and give her enough heat that she's not going to be able to carry on with it?
Well, ask easy questions, why don't you? No, I think she has got personal investments now that mandate that she has to take a war hawk stance. First of all, you know, Bill Clinton is the son of the illegal son. Not illegal son.
I mean,
he can't be an illegal son, but he's the son of Paul Winthrop Rockefeller. The facts are real on that. I know that for a fact, and they shy away from it. His father, he looks nothing like him. His father wasn't even around when he was born.
Right.
His mother was very promiscuous, and I think Hillary is going to find herself inexorably linked to Bill Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton is making a ton of money. He is a war hawk, too, although he sounds peaceful, and I think Hillary has painted herself into a corner. I believed at one time she was a Democratic frontrunner. I don't believe she can pull it off now. I really don't think so. And I think she has lost the presidency, so she's going for the cash.
We've got Lockheed Martin building fighter jets for Israel, jets that can reach Iran. And we see that Israel is stirring the pot and instigating trouble with Iran, as far as the U.S. is concerned. We know Congress isn't listening to people like us, the everyday people in America. Who are they listening to?
They're lining up for the fascist agenda. There's no doubt about it. Everybody's trying to get a piece of the crock. And I think the only reason there is even a presidential guys running is that simply they want to get in and they want to have their little bent on it to get a piece of the rock. And I think that's all it is. It's about the commercialization of the United States. I'm afraid that this is a real deal. Now, to make that point a little bit further, Ray Nagin asked the Louisiana governor if he could have all these National Guard. They were looking at 100. I understand they might be sending 600 there. And what's gone on there? The National Guard is not going there because the murder rate is up, or if the murder rate is up, it's a manipulated event. I think they're going there to reinforce eminent domain, which is an unwritten issue which nobody hears about on the news media. And I think that is going to be the joy to be the spirit of the day from here on out. I think that they're going to use the National Guard and or the military to suppress and oppress people who have any say or any disagreement with the government in any way. And I think eminent domain is the next giant issue on our plate. I really do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bill, a couple weeks ago, Robert Kennedy Jr. wrote an article for Rolling Stone magazine where he covered the 2004 election and pretty much quite literally said that it was stolen. He made quite a few convincing arguments. And we know here locally that the federal government has told all the municipalities in Pennsylvania that they have to move to these new type of voting machines.
In fact, they're addressing that today right here in our municipality.
Yeah, where they have to move to these new electronic voting machines,
mm-hmm.
which the Pennsylvania legislature refuses to say that they need to provide a paper trail. At what point, Bill, is the American public just going to say the whole voting process now is such a sham that why even partake in it?
15 years ago. No, they should have griped about it. The fact is we need paper ballots. I don't care if 10 minutes before the polls open if they predict the president. I want to know who really won. I want to know what the genuine mindset of the country is. And I don't believe Bush won either election. Pennsylvania and Ohio have both been sore spots and record sore spots. By the way, Katherine Harris is doing very well, thank you much.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the woman who pretty much was a vote fraud queen in Florida. And the fact is that we have given up as a nation. I think we've fallen into a, I hate to say it, I'm going to probably upset, maybe you and some others, I think we've fallen into pathetic apathy. I think people are saying that, oh, well, these things are written about, they're going to happen, then que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And I think they have thrown in the gauntlet. I think they've given up because they believe all this stuff is destined to happen. Whether or not it's destined to happen or whether or not you have a different mindset, such as I do, the fact is that, folks, we are called to be good stewards of this land. Whether or not it's stroked in God's book or God's word, or whether or not this is one big cosmic joke, the fact is we have given our stewardship to the fascist government, and I really don't see any future apart from a very dire legacy that we're leaving our children.
The Bush administration and the media hawks keep giving us very upbeat assessments of what's going on in Iraq. They say we're making progress there and we're winning. Yet just a few days ago, the Washington Post obtained a cable from the U.S. Embassy in Iraq, which paints a very different picture. U.S. Embassy employees in fear for their lives, that their neighbors will discover they work for the U.S. government, threats, harassment. Does the U.S. control anything in Iraq outside that international green zone? Because the rest of it, beyond the perimeter of the green zone, seems to be chaos.
I think the U.S. is simply playing along. As I mentioned, the mercenary capabilities and possibilities, I think that's really what's up. The U.S. is, what's the old band phrase, dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. I think the U.S. is doing that. And we're doing that on behalf of people who don't really give a damn about the U.S. They give a damn about their own personal profits, and I think everything is going to end up being fascist. You know, I say that, I've got more friends than I can count that say, the communist menace, you know, the Red Chinese and the Russians are getting together, everybody has gone fascist. And you guys are well aware of that, and yet again, as we ignore and abhor the facts and truth, we find ourselves damned and slammed. Because there's no way we can simply avoid this agenda. No way. Yeah. And I think the company and corporate America has long ran things behind the scenes, and now I think they're coming out of the closet. Are they homosexual? Are they straight? It doesn't matter. They're in charge.
On that note, Bill, let's turn another 180 degrees. New York Times, number one bestseller, Ann Coulter's latest book. She raised some controversy where she said 9/11, she'd never seen anybody enjoy the death of their loved one as much as the 9/11 widows, yet now there's talk that she may have plagiarized certain sections of the book, she may have lied about what church she goes to, or even if she goes to any church at all. Bill, any chance you're going to be asking Ann Coulter out lately? Or in the near future?
Only if she has a lot of money. No, I don't give a darn about Ann Coulter. I think she's been the queen of neocons from day one. She says just enough to raise controversy, but always plays the neocon byline. I think that, again, she will be Bush's best friend when the time comes for it. I think that she has used her sex to sell herself. Here she is supposedly a Christian woman of God. She wears some very provocative things.
Wait a minute.
I had a lady on my email list who wrote me, you like that slut because I wrote about one of her articles, but she didn't read all I wrote. I said, I think that Ann Coulter is simply in it for the money. She just wants the money. She wants to be there to reinforce neocon values. And I can't stand her. I cannot stand her.
Me too. There was a report over the weekend that in 2003, allegedly, there was supposed to be this attack on the New York City subways. Maybe you remember hearing about that, where they were going to fill the subways with the poison gases. And so they ran a report about this over the weekend. Allegedly, at the last minute, the number two guy in Al-Qaeda called the plan off. Now, does this set off your BS detector or what?
Shades of, there was a real gas attack, and let's not forget that. It was the attack that took place in Tokyo years ago, and that was a pretty big deal to me. I thought it was a big deal. But we've never had anything of such nature planned or carried out here in the United States. I'm more afraid of radiological weapons, which will have a gift that keeps giving. You know, they'll poison and toxify areas of the world for an incredible long period of time. But poison gas, I'm sorry, I don't think you can buy this stuff. I don't think you can really make it. I think it's just a bunch of BS. But the neocons are good at that. They deflect whatever the primary issue is by BS, and they're very good at it.
Yeah. Bill, we're going to change again. We're all over the place. I think this may actually have been an article that you sent around. Stephen Hawking, the great world-renowned physicist. He wrote the book, A Brief History of Time. He recently came out and says that that human beings need to move into outer space because their time here on the planet Earth is limited. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Stephen Hawking is a man I do have a lot of respect for. How somebody could suffer through such ailments and still rise to the pinnacle that he has is really a success story, no doubt about it. I don't personally like his ideology, though. We can fit everybody in the world in 300 square feet in Texas. Everybody in the world. Every person born right now. And it's like, so I'm a bit hesitant to say we need to move into outer space. I like the idea of going into outer space to exercise options, to check out the world, how it was born, how things have been mutated and created. I like that idea. But I don't think it's a primary thing, and I really think that we need to weigh our options right now. I don't think outer space is the direction to go right now. I think it's a place for the future, and I don't have a problem with that. But I think him saying we need to move into outer space is absurd. I really do.
Well, and it's not viable. It's not even, like, possible at this point. So we can fit all the people in the world in Texas?
Yes.
Well, and the other thing with Hawking...
Hey, and by the way, I got a question on that. I said, let's see, what is... No, it was 30 square feet. 30 square feet. Every person in the world. We can feed every person in the world between Nebraska, California, and a couple other states. We could feed everyone in the world. All this is supply and demand and control. That's all it is. So I don't have a lot of faith in the government. You know, I read the Human Time Bomb, I think it's by Ehrlich. I've got tons of books on population control, and I've got their companions, which are total exposure of the books and the agenda. I think we have plenty of room on the earth for everybody. We have plenty of room for the next 100 years. But the fact is that we hear about useless eaters, the reflections of the Fabian socialists and others are coming to the forefront, and they literally believe, they have to reduce world population dramatically.
Yeah,
and that concerns me because those are part of the scum that need to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it sounds like is Stephen Hawking is playing into this whole Malthusian type of philosophy. But, Bill, I got one more question for you. But before we go, again, give everybody your website address. Give them all the pertinent information.
Okay, my website address is proactivenews.com. I've got tons of documents on there, tons of stuff, folks, you really need to read. I've made a lot of changes recently, so it's updated. I've got newsletters on there. My newsletters know they have maintained their antiquity, but there's really good stuff in there. They're available on the website. My email address is bill@proactivenews.com. That's also the email address that you write to if you want to be on my email list. Just $5 or $10 a month, everybody can afford that. Folks, just bypass McDonald's or Burger King 1 day a month, and you can afford it. Anyways, let's have the last question.
All right. There's an article that made its way quite a bit around the Internet. It was about the North American super state. And, of course, everybody knows about that, the FTAA. But these are the behind-the-scenes machinations that are going on. Now, it was written by a guy named Jerome Corsi, who I don't have a lot of faith in, and it originally appeared on the WND, the World Net Daily site, which...
I don't have any faith in anything that comes out of World Net Daily, literally.
You
know, I mean, maybe 10%.
Yeah, and it was run by Joseph Farah, who received some votes in our latest poll as the biggest... Oh, Bill, I have to mention, too, before we go, that on yesterday we published the results of our first Wing TV poll. Who's the biggest shill? And I have to tell you, Bill, you were one of the people that didn't receive one vote from anybody, and there were 41 different people that received
votes. But guess
votes.
Who received top honors? Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
Everybody is recognizing and realizing, you know, his bit about the cover, you know, I got detained at the border, you know, they hassled me. Well, because he's got a big mouth. If he had shut up, he could have gone through the border, and there would have been no problems whatsoever.
Well, it was
my
all
humble opinion.
It was all just a big deliberate publicity stunt. But our question this week, Bill, and this is how we're going to end the show, is our question to everybody is, what's the single biggest problem facing the Patriot movement today? How would you respond to that?
I think infiltration and collaboration. When I say that again, you've got people out there that are saying exactly what the government wants them to say, mm-hmm. whether or not they realize it and recognize it. I think the fact is that our mentality has got to a 30-minute maximum, and now I think it's down to 10 minutes. We forget what happened 10 minutes ago. We don't realize or recognize what goes on. We need to take care of our minds. We need to use extended headphones on the cellular phones, and that's a giant story getting ready to break. I've got a lot of stuff on that I'm going to be putting out here in the next couple of weeks. Folks, we have got to maintain integrity. And, again, is there Christian patriots? I don't know. I really don't know, because everybody has disappointed me. They go towards a certain agenda, and the fact is, folks, I don't buy that agenda. I don't realize, I don't recognize Israel, and if we put Israel as the number one citizen and we're secondary citizens, I think we do a great disservice to God. God took the gospel to the Greek and then everyone else, to the Jew first and then the Greek, and everybody in the world was exposed. There is no first-class citizenry, and I just want to mention that because I think the allegiance and adherence that we paid Israel does the entire world a disservice, I really do.
Well, Bill, we think you're absolutely amazing, and every show that you're on with us is just very, very enjoyable. So we want to thank you, everybody. It's www.proactivenews.com. Drop Bill a line. Sign up for his newsletter.
Send Bill an email and find out where you can send the aloe plants to.
Exactly. Well, Bill.
Okay, you people are evil.
Well, Bill.
No, thanks, Lisa.
We hope you feel better, and thanks for coming on. I'll drop you an email here in the next week or so. We'll get you lined up for next month, and just thank you for coming on. You're always amazing.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
You're welcome.
Take care. Now, we're going to have tomorrow on our show Mr. Hesham Talawi, and we're going to talk to him about how he was recently dumped by a TV station for carrying his show, which is called Current Issues TV. So until tomorrow, again, thanks to Mr. Bill Brumbaugh. Keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.